There'll be no ice cream, none of that swirl thing with cherries on the top, none of that. No Cuban sandwich, and no post-game pizza. I'm sticking with it. I'm going with the carving station and a nice salad. Chicken tenders, passing it by.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on. The man is magic. Ira Kaufman, Ira, you know, the hell with the introduction. Yeah, you're Mr. Bill Curry Ford. Yeah, you're the water damage whisperer, but I feel like you're just hitting your prime here in your glory years.
Come on. Next year's 50 years, Steve. How can I be in my prime after 50 years in this crazy business? September 20th, 1976. Well, I'll never forget it.
What was your best year? If this isn't your prime, what was your best year?
Well, I walked into 220 East 42nd Street, the Daily News building with the globe from the Superman movies. That was my domicile for about 9 years. And I think I peaked in 1983. That was my best year.
You peaked?
But my second best year was my first year with Joe Bucks fan.
2016. All right. I don't know. I think you're hitting your stride.
And I think 2026 is going to be my best year.
Well, Lee D. Camper's here, of course, from Joe Bucks fan. Lee, do you have a best year for Ira?
Well, that's a tough one. You've done so many things.
Well, the year I got married. You know, you can't beat that. That you can't beat.
How about the year Tom McEwen hired you?
That's right up there.
I'm talking performance, Ira. Well, that was probably your wedding year as well.
Well, performance would be, getting Sanborn. That's a performance. I participate.
All right, Sage. Look, you're presented by Bill Curry Ford. They love you over there, Bill Curry Ford. They're not just a dealership. Yes, they're a Ford dealership. Yeah, they're family-owned. Yes, they're Tampa's first family of Ford. But all our listeners are family over there. You just go talk to Sean Sullivan, the general manager, or email him. He's on the website, BillCurryFord.com. And you say, Sean, gosh, I need a new truck, and I see these great lease deals, and this is what I'm looking to do, and direct me, help me, guide me, give me a discount, and he's going to do it. Where else can you do that? You can't.
I got a text today from Bill Curry Ford about deals, quote-unquote. They got some deals.
They've got a lot of them, and they're all at BillCurryFord.com. Don't mess around. And as Sean says, it's not going to last forever. They're still doing mobile service at no extra charge.
Unbelievable.
So they'll work on your vehicle at your home, and there's no extra charge to come out there, and they'll bring it back.
If they got to bring it to the shop, they'll take your vehicle.
Yeah, and they'll give you a loan, and they won't just drive away with it and not tell you. it's an amazing service, BillCurryFord.com. Just get to the website. We love them. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are here for every homeowner. Water damage, don't mess around. You see the water damage, you can't just get out, 74 towels and 400 paper towels, wipe it up, and it got on the wall, maybe it'll dry in a couple of weeks. You can't do that. It's your greatest investment is your home or your office. Could be your business if you're a business owner. You got to call them and get a free evaluation. They've got the best technology. They've got the smartest and the most experienced technicians, and they'll get out to your property and assess everything. Call them first before you call your insurance company. If you move forward with them, you're going to get $500 back if you mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan on your first call. Just get to their website, too. It explains what they do. You'll see their 5-star Google reviews across the board. They service all of the Tampa Bay area, Ira. So, right, they'll go up to your house there. You're the king of Newport Richie. But they cover the whole area across to Orlando and beyond. You need to know who they are so you're ready. There's a lot of competition in that space. You need somebody who's honest. We know them. We trust them. And, of course, again, mention Joe Bucks fan or Ira. And if you need them, you'll get $500 back after that free inspection. Sage, you have any big plans this weekend before we get into the podcast?
Well, I'm going off my diet Saturday,
Or Saturday?
I think it's Saturday.
The duck? You're still going with
the
duck?
No, I think I'm switching to Mexican with a margarita to start. So I'm going to have to make up for it on Sunday. I might run some wind sprints at the stadium before the game.
Yeah, Mexican. You went from the Peking duck to Mexican?
Yeah, I went crispy duck.
Crispy duck.
Crispy duck.
Get it right. Sage, huge week for Bucks fans. Huge.
I think they're the talk of the league.
They are the talk of the league.
They're the talk of the league.
I don't remember this. Lee, do you ever remember this like this?
Not since they won the Super Bowl.
This early and this much
No, not this
insanity?
Early.
Just the way they're winning. The way they're winning, Lee.
Because there wasn't this much hype early for Brady. The Bucks struggled early with Brady.
Yeah.
2021, they were the heavy favorites. So, they ran everybody back, all the fun, yes, but it wasn't, thrilling.
They have a chance to compete for the number one seed. The number one seed.
Well, Prickly Pete Prisco predicted that back
then. Wouldn't that be something?
Prickly Pete Prisco predicted that this summer, and immediately his colleagues on CBS unloaded on him. What the hell's wrong with you?
Not only you get a home game, you get a bye week. Yep. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something. Do you like that? I mean that seriously.
Yeah, I think it's one less chance to get eliminated. Of course I like
it. Yeah, that's a good point.
Would you hold it against Baker Mayfield and say if he lost coming out of that, would you say he didn't
no,
win the playoff game?
Every team strives for the number one seed.
I guess my
question, everybody wants the bye week.
Does the number one seed count as a playoff W?
I'm not going that far.
Why not?
But history tells you that if you're the number one seed, you got a damn good chance of getting into the conference
title
game.
Because you have to be a good team. You only need one win.
The Bucks are turning into a good road team right now. Good road team.
All right, Sage, we got plenty to get into. So we're not going to go too much into last week's game in Seattle, but we'll touch on it because it was just so memorable and meaningful.
Well, it's memorable because I'm 5-0. That's why it's memorable.
And this Sage's record is 5-0 picking games, which is impressive, Ira. I'll give you that. You know, a lot of Bucks fans, if they're honest, I don't think they can look in the mirror and say, I've picked every game accurately, but you've done it.
And you guys are right there with me. You got a fine record. Yeah, you're right. You're right there.
4-1's not 5-0. You know, that's
yeah.
how it is.
But you might have a 4-game winning streak going because I think you might have picked Atlanta in
four
week
game.
One.
Yeah, 4-game winning streak. 4-1's 4-1. We Lee and I are what our record says we are. Ira, just looking back in the broader scope of Sunday's thrilling win in Seattle, Emeka Ibuka has now emerged as a guy that seemingly everyone everywhere is talking about as a landmark, historical, transcendental. A superstar receiver in the making.
In the words of Lee DeKemper, take it easy. Yeah. Take it easy.
That's actually Mike North, but okay.
That's the thing. Nobody's taking it easy now. Aqib Talib, okay, I'm going to read this to you, Ira. Aqib Talib, five-time Pro Bowl cornerback.
Who made my top 50 list and didn't make the Buccaneers' official top 50 list. And when Aqib was told, Ira Kaufman put you on the top 50 list, he goes, that's why I like Ira.
Is that right?
Yeah. He was told that he made my list. Which he did.
He did, and I thought he deserved it. But, you know, you could argue that all day long. But he actually said on his new show on the arena with Richie Incognito and Gerald McCoy and Skip Bayless how annoyed he was that the Buccaneers didn't put him on that top 50. Thought he got screwed. Gerald McCoy agreed that he got screwed. Talent-wise, he probably did get screwed. But
he had talent, Lee. He had talent.
We're not here to argue Aqib Talib. But he calls it straight. And he was talking about Ibuka this week, Ira. I mean,
give me some of the quotes.
He's saying Ibuka is Jamar Chase-like. He said he's the rookie of the year. He's a legit number one. He may not be the fastest, but Talib was raving about his game speed, and he explained how that game speed works. He said that his routes, he knows how to move defenders, which Talib considers the ultimate skill, how to get a defender to do what you want him to do.
He feints going somewhere and gets the guy off balance.
He talked about his body control, and he finished up saying, bro is special. I know special receivers when I see them. He's special. He's going to score double-digit touchdowns. He's Jamar Chase, I'm telling you. Ira, this pick seems to be going off the rails as a heroic, incredible selection that's going to change the franchise.
Jamar Chase is the consensus best receiver in football. Especially coming off last season. Now he doesn't have Joe Burrow. I'm not going to knock, I'm not going to.
You got Joe Flacco.
Yeah. I mean, that's high praise, Lee. That's high praise. Now it's 5 games, Lee. It's 5 games.
Calm down.
But he looked very good in training camp, and he looked very good. And every chance he's had to look great, he's looked great. And he started off in style in Atlanta, right? Right in style. 2 touchdowns, the game winner in Atlanta. Yeah. And like Lee said on the other podcast, it was a good point by Lee. He's already got a famous, a favorite pattern.
Yeah.
You know, that
seam
kind
route.
Of
yeah.
the post, he's really good at
like
it.
Like about 20, 25 yards.
Corner and of course, Mayfield's leading them beautifully with the ball. I got nothing bad to say about Ibuka. How can you?
Yeah, how can you? The chemistry that him and Mayfield have in such a short period of time really amazes me.
Now, don't take me wrong on this one. I want to be very clear on this one.
Uh-oh.
You know who is famous for having game speed, but you put him in the combine and he wasn't that good?
Jerry Rice, yeah.
Let me clarify that. I'm not trying to put him in any kind of category.
I understand.
Jerry Rice may be the best player of any position of all time.
Jim Brown.
He just might.
Now, I believe Jerry Rice was famous for his 4.6 40 time, which is why teams didn't draft him, including Tom Landry, who thought he's not good enough.
But Bill Walsh saw enough of him.
Interesting you bring this up, Ira. You're ahead of the game, by the way. I was out, Josh Grizzard the other day. I was out at One Buck. Obviously, he was asked about Ibuka. And he said that Ibuka has some sneaky speed. Even though combine-wise he's not quick, he's able to get past defenders. And that's kind of a Godwin-esque trait. Time-wise, stopwatch-wise, not that fast. You get him on the field. Tez Johnson's the same way. And that's why you can't pay me to watch the combine. Now, I love the combine, like going there, talking to sources, NFL people, coaches, agents. I love that. The TV show, you put a gun to my head, go ahead and pull the trigger. I won't watch. I think it's trash. And I will add, if the combine really meant something, the stopwatch, the 40s, every team would have an Olympic sprinter on the stinking
roster. Remember that clown that Al Davis fell in love with, Darius Haywood Bay or somebody?
Yeah, because speed.
Fast 4-2 something. The guy couldn't play. You can get in trance with these combine.
Outside
things.
Of Bob Hayes, I can only think of one other track star that did anything. Ronaldo Nehemiah. Bill Walsh had a hang-up on him.
Was Homer Jones a track star?
He went to Texas.
Well, Bob Hayes is the class. And he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
He is.
So,
well,
say,
Bob Hayes.
Sage, on that same show, more of the Emeka Ebuka mystique that's going around with Tlaib. Jordan McCoy's there. And McCoy said, let me tell you a little story. He said, you know, a guy will tell you this guy's great, that guy's great, he's doing well. He's like, I got a lot of sources at one buck. And he said, you know, I talked to Mayfield. We're buddies. Mayfield told me all about Ebuka in the summer. He said, but then it was the next day, and I heard from my former teammate and my buddy, Robert Ayers, who was the defensive line coach at University of Tennessee. He was a coaching intern with the Bucks this year. He played for the Bucks in 2016 and 2017. He said, Ayers told him, he said, Gerald, this guy is unreal. He's going to get 1,200 yards this year receiving. It doesn't matter where they put him. He's that good. I haven't seen anything like this. And McCoy said, these two guys telling me about this, totally separately, completely different conversations. He's like, I knew that something crazy was happening.
And look at it from a draft perspective, Lee. I mean, Wirfs was a fabulous pick. Wirfs was a tremendous pick. He could end up in Canton.
Yeah.
He could. 5 years from now, we might be talking about Wirfs, you know, as a almost a slam dunk for Canton, like a Joe Thomas type, you know.
Maybe better.
And he's playing for better teams than Joe Thomas. But considering this guy was 19. Now, I got a question for you two boys. I'm thinking about this. What if that McMillan kid that Canales ended up drafting?
Oh, the big tall guy.
Before Ebuka. So this McMillan was off the
board. Oh, I see where you're going.
I wonder. You're never going to get a straight answer from Lightning, and I understand that. But you wonder if they would have took McMillan instead of Ebuka. But what a draft pick this is starting to look like.
Well,
what a draft pick.
I don't think they would have taken that guy over Ebuka because they were so sold on his professionalism, on his just maturity.
Well, this kid McMillan's going to be good, Lee.
I want to say, how can I be polite? Wasn't exactly a perfect exam, his background, shall we say.
Yeah.
Not saying he
and
was,
that counts for light. That counts.
I think that's the utmost.
Yeah.
So they were so sold on Ebuka's professionalism, his way he attacks the game.
Now, Steve, it's funny. Going back to the worst draft, you could make the argument that if those three other stud tackles, which all of them are not as good as Wirfs, if one of them was on the board, would he have taken one of them back then or whatever ahead of Wirfs? We'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never know. But Buck fans don't care because they got Wirfs, mm-hmm. and now they got this kid who looks like what could be a runaway offensive rookie of the year. It's going to be tough to beat him.
Tap the brakes. No, I mean, I hope he does, but it's only the fifth week of the season.
I mean, to win that award, part of it, you need the perception game among all the writers and voters, so he's got that. He's in the lead with the...
And it ain't going to be a center, the offensive rookie of the year. It ain't going to be a center.
Even if he sort of mellows out but finishes strong with 1,200 yards, he'll probably get it. But, you know, we're going to hope for a lot better than that.
Here's an Ebuka question for you, Ira. And this guy, at times, drives me nuts. He used to drive Michael Lombardi absolutely up a wall. Danny O, ESPN, Danny O, the former backup quarterback for the Bucks,
Orlovsky.
A Shiano backup, shall we say.
He makes some outlandish statements.
Well,
outlandish.
Here we go. Ebuka's in the running for MVP.
Take it. Come on, Danny.
Well, numbers-wise, he is.
Don't get Ira going.
How could you vote for him over Mayfield?
Don't get
Ira. That's silly.
Well, there's something deeper that you go bananas about whenever I mention it.
In the running is the phrase.
Yeah.
Lee didn't say he's the front runner.
Well, whenever I mention this to Ira, he goes bananas. So, okay, it's time for you to go to bananas.
All right.
Back in 2021, Cooper Kupp should have been MVP.
That's not crazy.
Well, I always thought you said receivers should not get it.
No, I never said that. I said it's very tough for a receiver to get it.
That's
true. Very tough. You can't make the case for Ebuka over Baker Mayfield.
Who's delivering the ball? Right?
I mean, the kid's been sensational. I'm not saying that.
One interesting take, which is funny based on who it came from. So, Rob Gronkowski, Gronk, he had the viral moment on...
He wasn't on Aqib Talib's podcast, was he?
No, he was on the Fox studio. Gronk screwed up, and he called Ibuka, last name Egbigbu. Okay? And it went viral. He messed up.
Come on, Gronk, you're better than that.
Well, they called him on it right away, and he later said that his brother, little brother, texted him and said, Egbigbu, that's the kid we played with in high school. You must have been thinking of him. And Gronk's like, oh, my gosh, you're right. But anyway, Gronk, when he got over his, you know, Gronk shtick, he said that Baker Mayfield deserves a ton of credit for Ibuka because he said young guys don't come in and dominate and play like that unless their quarterback has made them feel so comfortable and done what needs to be done to allow that to happen. And that's probably a huge part of this, Ira.
I wouldn't argue with that part. From a guy who couldn't pronounce his name, he made a good point, Lee. But you understand my point about that. You're not going to pick this guy as MVP over the guy that's delivering the football, who's also delivering the football to all these other guys, including Sterling Shepard. The kid's sensational. What's he has a couple of drops, Egbuka, one or two.
Sure. Who cares?
Who cares? Who cares? Now, when Evans comes back, which I don't think we're that far away, we might have to wait till after the bye week. Maybe. So, Lee, how's that going to impact Egbuka's numbers? I don't think they're going to go down.
Not by much, because you figure Evans is going to take Shepard's place.
He did it when Evans was on the field.
Yeah.
One guy who's coming back this weekend, Ira, is a very interesting twist to a story that we talked about all offseason.
Looks like Mother Nature's going to be nice to the 49ers for the game, Steve, because I think it's going to be like 82 degrees and low humidity. So they catch a little break there.
They catch a little break, but you know what? You can't rely on the weather to win a game for you here, Sage. What is going to be critical with the 49ers, and we'll get more into the game, is their injury list is as long as the Bucs was last week. So they've got quarterbacks banged up. They've got 17 guys on their injury list, and it's a mess of a situation for them. But the interesting thing about this game, Ira, is, you know, we know that you, not a Jamel Dean fan, you are ready to run the guy out of town in the offseason. He may not be here. He may not stick. Lee was talking about, look, Dean's going to get injured. It's a matter of when.
He did say that.
Benjamin Morrison, the rookie, is going to come in and replace him. And you know what? That happened.
I think he flashed very nicely in the few times that I saw him. I noticed the guy. Okay. I thought he was playing pretty well.
He played pretty well 2 games ago when Dean played about 15 snaps.
The Jets game or the Eagles game?
Eagles game.
Yeah.
But yeah, Morrison finished it out, almost got to the end, but got hurt, pulled a hamstring, couple snaps remaining. And then, sure enough, they didn't play last week, but now Dean is healthy. So Dean, he survived his injury. You know, we talked about him getting replaced, and Morrison can't replace him. So
Lee talked to him in the locker room this week, Dean.
Yeah.
Dean was full go with his hip issue Thursday, even though they only had a walkthrough, he was classified as full go.
Well, that's good news because McCollum looks like he's hurt.
McCollum's got this mysterious thumb situation that was lingering.
Bowles said it happened during the Seattle game.
No,
before
said it happened
the
before
Seattle,
Seattle
game.
And
they taped him up.
McCollum had a procedure. Doesn't mean he can't wear a club, but he's not going to pick off any passes with a club on his hand.
Now, to be fair,
there's a great story.
To be fair, you said McCollum struggled, so you didn't know that he was also had nursing an injury. So you got to be fair to McCollum.
Well, he was on the injury report. I don't know how bad it is. But, yeah, he didn't look too good last game. You're right, Ira. Thanks for calling me on that. But Morrison is not going to be ready.
Drives you crazy.
Dean survives the guillotine, Ira. And,
the guillotine.
I'm impressed.
It's certainly fortunate that he's back because if he wasn't and McCollum wasn't full go, then you're really in trouble.
Five-alarm fire.
And I know the 49ers don't have their regular complement. Ayuk's not there. Kittle's not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got Purcell. I don't know what's going on with that guy.
He's hurt.
Yeah, they got a guy named Bourne who had a big game, I believe, against
Jason.
The Rams. Jason. I'll tell you who's healthy for the 49ers, though, and we will talk about it. McCaffrey. They got him circled. I mean, a big, big circle around him. And you have to.
Real quick about the cornerbacks. I talked to Jamel Dean this week. He was dripping from his shower. Usually those guys say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I didn't notice it. And I asked, hey, you got a couple? Yeah, I'll talk.
Hey, it's a family show.
Did he tell you to tell the Sage to lay off me? Did he say that?
I did see McCollum, and I documented this on Twitter, precisely 75 hours prior to kickoff. He's still in a sling. 75 hours prior to kickoff. So in 3 days, is he going to be able to get back on the field? And although this is not the norm, this is an assholian analogy. When Steve said, you know, he's got his hand in a cast or a club, he won't be able to intercept anything. Remember the this when I say remember, Ira probably remembers this. Larry Wilson famously got a pick with two broken hands.
Larry Wilson.
Larry Wilson.
Of your Cardinals.
Like, well, it used to be.
By the way, Steve, let me throw this in there while we're talking about the Bucs secondary.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the exception, not the rule.
Steve, I've watched this play about 13 times. You've watched it 9 times. Lavane's pick. I just want to make sure that our listeners realize, without number 31, that play doesn't happen.
Agreed.
31 made the play.
Yeah.
And I'm watching Winfield, and he's like faking, dropping back. The quarterback didn't know what the hell he was going to do.
Correct.
And then he found the crack. What a great play by Winfield. He
inside,
makes plays like that.
Inside-out move.
Inside-out move.
Yeah, that late blitz on Sam Darnold. Darnold admitted that he was throwing the ball into the dirt. He was throwing it away. And he told that to Seattle media.
Yeah. Just like Penn State's quarterback. No, I know. I'm joking. If you know what pass I'm talking about against Notre Dame.
I was told by somebody on the Bucs this week, even if that ball didn't hit the helmet, Lavonne David was going to pick
chance.
That off.
No chance. Well, watch it. No chance.
Very similar play. College semifinals last year. Notre Dame, Penn State. One score game. Penn State's got the drive. Very same thing. Oh, he's throwing it away. So he claimed. Threw a pick. Tried to throw it in the dirt, and he said threw it right to the guy.
Mistake Darnold made that day. He played great.
Yeah.
You can see the trajectory of the ball is straight down, hits Logan in the helmet, Logan Hall, and then it goes back. The ball comes up.
To be fair about Darnold, and I don't want to overdo this, but I think you're with me on this. It helps when you don't have guys' hands in your face all day long.
Of course.
All day long, he's got too much time to throw.
Is this the year of the quarterback redemption? Darnold.
Yes. It ain't going to happen with Flacco. Don't worry about Flacco. That's not going to happen.
So, Ira.
Mac Jones.
Before we get more into your sit down, your chat with Hassan Reddick, since you brought up the pass rush, one thing Todd Bowles said this week on the radio network is that, you know what? With the way the offensive line is playing and Bredesen back now for 2 games in his position, Barton back in his, Werf's back. And the way the guys on the right side of the line are playing, Luke Haggard and Charlie Heck, Bowles said it feels normal. Now, I mean, we have a new normal and it feels normal. And I think that's pretty telling because, you know what? Sunday we watched Grizzard open up the offense because he probably felt like we have a stable line now and we're going to be throwing deep and doing all these
things.
Open
up the whole playbook, right? Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. They put up 460 yards, Lee, against a pretty good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that Buck offense was humming. And they had to, because Seattle wasn't stopping either.
Mm-hmm.
They had to. And by the way, you know, and I understand Mayfield, you were there with me earlier this week. And that's classic Mayfield, and I have no problem with it. He called it complimentary football, Lavonne makes the play. And Lee, you and I both know, you were there and I wasn't. That game was not a classic example of complimentary football. It was not. That was an example of Mayfield making a play at the end. Lavonne making one play on a ragged defense that was torched in the second half. That's not complimentary football, you know.
Well, the finish was.
Yeah.
The finish
yeah,
was.
Yeah, the finish was. But, yeah, but it was all offense for the Bucs, and it had to be.
So, Ira, Chris Godwin, he's listed with a fibula injury. Now, the fibula is kind of your shin bone, if you will.
The ham bone's connected to the shin bone.
Which connects to your ankle. We don't know.
Is he practicing? What's he doing out there?
Now, they haven't practiced again all week. Same thing as last week. Oh, just walk through, get him healthy to Sunday. Who cares about practice? So that's what they've been doing, but they have to put out an injury report that says, if we practiced, what would the guy's status be? And Godwin has been, cannot participate. So it's certainly disturbing because he hasn't played well. And, yeah, he's working off rust, but now he's got a leg injury, and no one's talking.
I thought he looked a little better in Seattle than he did against the Eagles. Look, he's been usurped by the rookie. He's been eclipsed. I mean, let's face it. So is Evans, to be frank. And that's no knock on Evans. It's just how spectacular this kid's been. Maybe an opportunity for Tez Johnson, who showed, Lee, who showed.
Mm-hmm.
This is starting to look like another hell of a draft class, Lee. It really is. It really, and that's what Morrison being hurt.
Mina Kimes said, Jason Light's been on a heater. She goes, look at his
last four
drafts.
Bad. That's not bad.
Look at his last four drafts. They're all on the field, contributing, making plays, producing.
Yeah. I'm not going to kill him for Joe Tryon Shayanka. I'm not going to kill him for Kyle Trask. You know, I'm not.
You're not going to kill him for Chris Braswell.
No. It's a 50-50 proposition, and he's batting 750.
Can I bring up one of your scoops?
Go ahead.
When you had the scoop, when There was an alleged competition.
Alleged, yes.
Between
yes.
Trask
yes.
and Mayfield.
Yes.
And you broke the story like the first week of training camp. And I know who you talked to. It's a hell of a source. And he's like, no, it's already done deal.
And they didn't like it. The Bucks didn't like me doing that.
No, they didn't like it. But I was just thinking today, both those guys, when I say both, I'm talking Mayfield and Bowles, they may have both saved each other's careers. Bowles might have been on the hot seat because he had a losing record. And we know what the Glazers think of two losing records in a row. And Mayfield, nobody wanted them as a starter. They wanted them as a backup. Baltimore wanted them. The Rams wanted them. But only the Bucks wanted them as a starter. Both those guys saved each other's jobs.
And Bowles was a big driving force in getting Mayfield.
Very much so.
Very much on board.
You know, Light admits that he was hounding him. That Bowles was hounding him. Like, you just talk to him? Did you sign him? Did you sign
By
him?
By the way, Steve, do I have to throw in the kicker? Trask's out of football. He's out of football. What are these Gator fans got to say about that? He's out of football, Steve. He's Bowles not 33.
It is stunning.
He can't get a job as on the practice
unless
squad.
Unless he's turned jobs down, I don't know.
Which but could be.
It could be. Maybe he's looking at, I want to get in training camp again. I don't, you know, I'll just wait till next year. I don't know. Some guys are funny like that, but on the surface, he's completely unwanted, which is pretty stunning considering, going back to what you were just talking about, the Buccaneers brass told the world Kyle Trask is this close from unseating Baker Mayfield for the starting job, and Mayfield turned out to be a Pro Bowler. So 2 years ago, he's that close, and now nobody is interested in him as a third-string quarterback on the practice squad. Doesn't make sense.
This week, he put out an Instagram Stories video. He's working out.
He did?
You know, so what? He's working out. Well, okay, he breaks a sweat in the backyard.
We'll talk a little pass rush coming up, Stevie. We'll
talk
about it.
Yeah, we will get to your chatter with Hassan Reddick. I want to address something first, though. Now, I wrote a story earlier this week, how badly injured is Luke Goedeke, which was the headline. Now, Goedeke, he got hurt week one, tried to come back week three. He quickly was shuffled off the field because he couldn't do it with his foot. We don't know the details of the injury. Bucks don't talk about it. And he was put on injured reserve, which means you can come back in four games. And okay, that's that. But Adam Schefter was out on his ESPN podcast.
The very connected Adam
Very
Schefter.
Well connected Adam Schefter, the guy who was from the same hometown as GM, assistant GM Mike Greenberg, the same guy who hosted Greenberg on Schefter's podcast. He's probably the only assistant GM to ever be on Schefter's podcast. And he's very tight at $1. And he said the Bucks have had two season ending injuries on their offensive line. And he was discussing the Bucks.
Unnamed.
So, we know one name.
We know, well, number one is Cody Mauch with the bad knee. Is Goedeke on that list? We don't know. But the Bucks didn't come out and say this is wrong. And to my knowledge, I haven't seen Schefter come out and say, hey, I screwed up. So a little strange. You stick to your diet Sunday?
No. I screwed up the last time. I've learned my lesson. There'll be no ice cream. None of that swirl thing with cherries on the top. None of that. No Cuban sandwich and no post-game pizza. I'm sticking with it. I'm going with the carving station. And a nice salad. Chicken tenders, passing it by.
Well, one thing you'll pass by on the way to the stadium, Ira, is Bill Curry Ford. They are 1 mile north of the stadium on the east side since 1960. Family-owned, fourth generation, Bill Curry Ford takes care of people personally. That's what makes them extra special. On top of all the great offers that you'll find at BillCurryFord.com, GM Sean Sullivan, you can reach out to him directly. He holds the Joe Bucks fan discount in his pocket, the Ira Kaufman podcast discount. It applies to everything, and you're going to be well taken care of there. Don't worry. Drive Curry, BillCurryFord.com. Check them out today. Their mobile service will come right out to your house. So, Ira, Hassan Reddick, we'll go to that because you had a chat with Mr. Reddick and the subject of his lack of sacks came up. What do we need to know?
Lee saw my process. I did beeline. I saw him coming out of a back door and then he went to his locker. He was dressed.
Yes.
So it wasn't like, you know, he had to get dressed. Nobody
I'm glad you weren't chasing a naked man.
Nobody else was around to talk to him and I approached him. You know, he was very accommodating. He didn't look like he was in a rush or anything. And I got him to admit that his numbers are low. He used the word cognizant. Steve, how many
wow.
players do that? I had to play the tape three times. Did he say that? Yeah, he said that. But as in the words of the Kemper, and I hate to quote the Kemper, but you got once in a while you have to.
Take it easy.
Winning's the deodorant, right? Winning.
Winning is the greatest
so,
perfume.
So, you know, in the spirit of Bucks camaraderie and culture, he says, we're winning.
Yeah.
We're winning. That's what it's all about. But I did make some points in that story about what we talked about the other day. I know we don't want to get into it again, but if things don't get better in the next 3 weeks, even if they keep winning, Lee, I don't care if they keep winning. In fact, I think it makes it more paramount that you at least discuss picking up an edge rusher, especially if you're 6-2, which I think they're going to be. I think they're going to be 6-2 at the break.
Wow.
And if they are, Steve, and Reddick's sitting there with 2 sacks in 8 games.
And Yaya.
And the pass rush isn't very good, and Bowles is blitzing his ass off in increasing fashion. You know, I'm just glad I sat down with Reddick. You know, gave him a chance to vent a little bit. He didn't look overly frustrated. He said it's a long season. He thinks he's going to turn this around. But he knows 1 sack in 5 games and 3 quarterback hits. That's not what they paid him for. And no. He's trying to cash in, Lee.
Oh, yeah. You know. Yeah, he's in a contract here.
And to be fairly, he's not being fully unleashed.
Oh, I agree with that.
He's not. And you know that's frustrating for a guy like Reddick.
Yeah, well, I would hope he knew what he was getting into. I would hope. I read this earlier this week. Seth Walder, some guy who's, you know, he craps numbers. Everything's a number with this guy. You know, forget about what you see on TV. It's numbers. Everything's numbers. Well, he has a number on Yaya Diaby. Do you know that Yaya Diaby comes across the line of scrimmage the fifth fastest in the league? Fifth fastest in the league. So if he's able to get across the line of scrimmage that fast, I want to know what the hell's going on.
Why isn't he making more tackles for loss?
Thank you. And you know what? I'm not really killing him. And that's the point I made in a story on JoeBucksFan.com. Who's coached him up to actually take the next step and put a quarterback down after he gets across the line of scrimmage so quickly? I don't see some spectacular coach coaching all these guys up to get all these sacks. Because
wasn't that the same problem Shoyinka had? He can get close, but he can't close the deal?
That's a great point. I heard Bowles actually say that. He's like, oh, he's getting close.
And Reddick said it to me. He said the times that I do get close, I'm not making the play.
I always go back to this point, and we've heard it many, many, many times. And I don't think this will change as long as Bowles is the defensive coordinator. I just don't. We're asking him to do more. Well, I'm going to paraphrase from Cam Jordan. I know everybody hates Cam Jordan, but he's an established edge rusher. Might be going to Canton someday. Might be. I don't know. At any rate, he recently had a defensive coordinator who was like, Bowles, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. And he's like, no, if you got an edge rusher, he needs to do one thing and one thing only. Get the quarterback. He goes, this nonsense about an edge rusher has to do this and that. He goes, it screws him up.
Maybe Reddick isn't built to take a physical pounding, you know, 60 snaps.
Look, let's stop making excuses. The guy was a ferocious edge rusher for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
He can do it if he's not washed out physically. We don't know that. Now, Reddick, fascinating guy. If you really dig into Reddick, I've read a lot of stories about him. He was with the Buccaneers Radio Network maybe 3-4 weeks ago, told kind of his life story. Stunning. I mean, the guy was a walk-on for 3 years. And he wanted to quit football to help his mother get an extra job, help out at home. And his mother was working 2 jobs. No, you got to keep following your dream. I believe in you, and I'll save the money to get you on a meal plan, because he didn't have enough food to eat like a football player.
Wow.
And he was going home for meals and then driving, you know, commuting and doing all kinds of things. And his senior year, he exploded, and he's been through all kinds of adversity. So. And he's a really good guy to talk to. Like, he's a smart guy, and he'll keep talking. You know, he knows what lines not to cross, but he's not like Ben Bredesen, who won't say anything. You could talk to Ben Bredesen for 3 hours. He won't tell you anything juicy.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you ask him about the Giants, he'll act like he didn't play there. You know, he's like looking over his shoulder for the New York media.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that about Bredesen. I was talking to him about
3 weeks
ago, and I wasn't taping him or anything. We weren't even talking that, you know, anything specific about the Bucs, just in general. About the NFL or whatever. And then I walked away from him, and he followed me about a minute later, and he came up to me and he goes, you're not going to use any of that stuff, are you?
Really?
I said, no, I'm not planning on using it. But he did do that.
Yeah, he's very, very concerned.
Yeah, he talks to me all the time, but boy, is he guarded.
Did he get burned?
I don't know.
That's what Steve thinks.
If you ask him, he's not going to tell you. So
Reddick's a sharp talker.
Reddick's a sharp guy. I don't know if he can play his way out of this, Ira. We all hope he can.
Have you noticed that a lot of times he's taken that inside, you know, loop, and it's totally ineffective. It's very ineffective.
All I know is that when he is asked to rush the passer, it's not working. So forget about the percentage when he's not. When he is, he's not doing it. And I can't blame that on, well, seven snaps ago, they asked him to drop
back. And everybody throws against the Bucs because it's hard to run on the Bucs. So it's not like they're only throwing the ball 26 times a game. Yeah. That's not happening.
Yeah, it's the same formula. Hasn't really changed much.
What do you think, Ibra? Yaya Diaby, 4.5 sacks last year.
It was a big step back.
That's exactly what he's on pace for right now, 4.5 sacks.
When Lee mentioned the fastest guy to cross the line of scrimmage.
You think they caught up with his moves and stuff?
I think that's part of it. I wrote that when he was a rookie. I think that was part of it. But he did
have a good rookie season.
He did, and I'll never forget. At San Francisco, I covered that game. I was out there. The Bucs were hanging in there. They were maybe 10 points behind. Yaya gets 2 sacks and gets pulled. What are we doing?
You're never going to forget that, Lee. Oh. Never.
So some guys have the elite get off. But it ends right there. They can't maintain the aggression, even in a short space. It's like some receivers, okay, when do they hit top speed? Do they hit it after 10 yards or 30 yards? And can they sustain it and all that stuff? So in comparison to what Lee was saying about Yaya, I guess the next-gen stats showing that he's, fourth fastest off the line. For a couple of years, we were sitting here talking about how Trey Palmer was the fastest in the NFL off the line of scrimmage. But that doesn't mean after one step he knows what he's doing. What's the second, third, and fourth step looking like? It's probably the same kind of thing with Yaya.
I want the guy that pulls away from the defender when the ball's in the air and just keeps, now he's got a step, now he's got 2 steps on the guy, instead of tracking what the guy does 3 yards from scrimmage.
And that's what makes it so crazy, at least for longtime Bucs fans, thinking back to the lost decade of Buccaneers football when Michael Bennett was on the field in 2012 and was just ferocious, and they didn't re-sign him. He finished off the edge. He moved around, tackles for loss, great against the run.
And didn't have a lot of players around him.
And he had low mileage on him. He was like 26 years old and only played like a season and a half.
I didn't think he was a bad guy either, Bennett. Smart guy.
Yeah, he was smart. He's a little bit of a rebel, but of course, Shannon couldn't have that, And he claimed he was hurt. I think he hurt his back.
He was talking about his Buck years?
Yes, he was with the Bucs. He hurt his back, and it was bad enough that he wasn't going to play. And he's in the Whirlpool. Mark Dominic comes up to him. Bennett's in his birthday suit in the Whirlpool. Dominic, you know how he was always spitting polish. You got to play. And he's like, well, I don't know. You got to play. We need you this Sunday. You got to play. And he was like, at the time, he was very naive, he said. He was like, well, the general manager's ordered me to play. I guess I better play. And he just said, in retrospect, that was stupid.
It's a classic Dominic story, Steve.
We're 6-7 and going nowhere, but you better get out there.
If I'm in a hot tub, I ain't playing on Monday.
We're overtaking Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, and Cam Newton this year.
The picture of him in his birthday suit and Dominic, Mr. Spit and Polish Dominic, perfectly starched shirt. And him talking, ordering Bennett in his birthday suit. He's got to play.
Ira, we'll talk more about this, but the Mayfield hype has matched the Ibuka hype. I've watched endless analysis of Mayfield from every analyst possible.
He called me rat poison the other day, Steve.
That's a Nick Saban line.
That's a Nick Saban. I thought he was calling me rat poison, Steve. I took it personal.
No, just a rat, not the poison. Everybody, I'm even watching Mike McCarthy. They're asking him on his Pat McAfee segment, who are your top 5 quarterbacks in the league? Mayfield's number 2.
You can imagine what Brady's saying about him, he's going to say about him. He is.
He's got number 3 quarterback in the league, I think.
Kurt Warner, I wrote it up at JoeBucksFan.com. Separate from his NFL Network job, he just has his own YouTube channel where he breaks down quarterback play. It's all educational. There's no nonsense, no whatever. He broke down Mayfield's game against Seattle. You would have thought he was talking about
Joe Montana.
Joe Montana. He was just absolutely blown away. He lays it out in X's and O's, not in just hyperbole.
You know what? I don't think we've mentioned enough about Mayfield. 1 pick in five weeks. We were talking going into this year. Hey, he's got to cut his interceptions. Well, he's done it. I mean, what else does this guy got to do?
And I think we're 2 press conferences in a row. Wednesday quarterback press conferences where he's named you by name, Ira.
And slapped me down both times.
Slapped you down
both
times.
But that's okay. He knows me. He knows me. He is a great story, Steve. I mean, he's just a tremendous story.
It's a stunning story. It's a question of where it's going to go, and where Mayfield wants to take it.
And he's going to cost the Bucs a lot of money. It's going to happen.
I hope they're going to be happy.
He's 30 years old. He's not going anywhere.
Ira, look, we've got picks to make. You're 5-0, so people should be glued to their radio and their listening device, whatever that is. And, of course, the 49ers are coming in terribly banged up.
You got to give them credit, though. They're banged up and they're 4-1. They beat a pretty good Rams team.
Yes, they look very sharp against the Rams, even with a backup.
And they're coming in on extended rest. You could argue that they should not have beaten the Rams if the Rams could have kicked an extra point, but that's not why we're here.
Shanahan knows how to work with quarterbacks, Lee. He knows what he's doing with quarterbacks.
Now, Shanahan's been kryptonite for Todd Bowles' offense.
Yeah.
Feels like every time Brock Purdy plays the Bucs, he's setting a new record for efficiency and just carving them up. And, of course, nobody schemes the run quite like Shanahan. But the Bucs have done a good job stopping the run against the 49ers. Historically, McCaffrey's healthy now.
McCaffrey's doing more damage as a receiver than a runner.
Using him everywhere because they have to, because they have so many injuries. It's a wild matchup, Ira, but do you think the 49ers, without George Kittle, without so many other weapons, without Bosa off the edge, who was a terror against the Bucs last year, you think they have enough? What do you think?
I think they got enough to hang with the Bucs because the Bucs don't blow anybody out, Lee. Well, they haven't, which is a point that Hassan Reddick made to me. But what's the difference at the end of the day? We're the better team and we win the game. They're going to hang. McCaffrey's a beast. I think he had 15 targets one of these weeks. 15 targets. Now, look, Rashad White's not exactly chopped liver.
No, but he's not McCaffrey.
Don't sleep on the Niners.
Don't sleep on the Niners.
Warner might be the best linebacker in football. He's up there. You know, and they score points. They find a way. They find a way to score. But I think the Bucs are the better team. And I think the Bucs are going to get a lift out of that Seattle game. And I don't expect half the crowd to be rooting for the Niners. A la the Eagles game.
Only 40%?
No, I don't think it'll be 40%. If it is, it's a bigger problem than I thought it was.
Yeah, they don't travel that well.
This game's got me spooked for two reasons.
Don't tell me you think the Bucs are going to be looking ahead to Detroit. No.
I just think it's a bad matchup. Bowles and Shanahan, there's two coaches that seem like they have Bowles absolutely figured out. One's Sean Payton, the other's Kyle Shanahan. And all these Bucs injuries. And yes, the Niners have injuries, but as we just referenced a moment ago, Ira, look what they did to a Rams team in their own house. They took them apart.
We'd be laughing about Mac Jones.
Yeah, well, Mac Jones was beat up also against the Rams. Look what he did. This smells like an L for the Bucs. I will say this on behalf of the Bucs. This will be the fourth season in a row the Bucs and the Niners have squared off. 3 years ago, the Bucs went out to Santa Clara, and the Niners just took them apart. And that, I think, was the end of Brady in the NFL. That was just an awful game in the rain. Niners put 35 points up. Then the next year, Bucs go out there again, 2023. I can't remember how much they put up on them, but not that many. So, okay, they got a little bit better. Last year, it took a last-second field goal by San Francisco to win the game. Got even better. I think 20 points. I think San Francisco had 20 points on the Bucs. So by that, you would think, okay, the Bucs have them this year. I saw that defense up in Seattle. You know, you used my quote earlier, winning is the greatest perfume. That perfume covered up a lot of stank in that game. The kick team and the coverage team. Yeah, kickoff team was terrible. They're giving them Seattle the ball at midfield every time, man.
Now, Lee, you got a 4-1 record to represent here.
No question. I think you're talking about the Bucs.
No.
I just think this is a bad matchup. I don't like Shanahan against Bowles. McCaffrey's healthy. And now they got 3 extra days rest.
Score?
I don't like this.
Score, my man.
24-20, San Francisco.
That's a good call, because I'm calling 24-20 home team.
Whoa.
I think the Bucs will swarm McCaffrey. That's the word that Reddick used. That's the word that Bowles used. You can't ask Clavonte David, as good as he is, to bring him down in the open field all by himself. That's a bad matchup for the Bucs, or almost any team. Now, and that goes for Servassier Dennis, too.
No.
That's right. Swarm to the ball. No loafs. Remember, the spirit of Monty Kiffin is watching you on Sunday. One thing about that Rams game, Lee, and you noticed it, Mac Jones was under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, he got beat up.
Yeah. If there's ever a game, Steve, that the Buck pass rush without, blitzing 70% of the time could show up, I think it's this week. I don't like the Niner offensive line.
So they're going to make Mac Jones puke up his banana?
It could be. And it could be a breakout game for Hassan Reddick. We'll see. I'm going 24-20 Bucks. And I'm putting my unbeaten record on the line.
All right, interesting. There's going to be...
And I got the same score as Lee in reverse.
You could be tied with Lee, or there could be some serious separation.
You're the tiebreaker here.
Well, all right. So the Niners, last in the NFL yards per carry. Run game, horrible. McCaffrey averaging 3.1 yards a carry.
Bucs rush defense, good.
Not good in Seattle, averaged more than 6 yards a carry. But I think they'll bounce back. They always seem to. And again, San Francisco... horrible running team. That's just been what they've been this year. Terrible. So I just don't think San Francisco has enough firepower to outscore the Bucks. And the Bucks have shown the firepower. San Francisco defense, not what it's been in the past. So the Bucks are averaging 27 points a game. San Francisco has not scored 27 points a game this season. They needed overtime to get to 26 last time. I just think the Bucks have too much juice, and I think they're going to win 30-21. I think they're going to win away.
No last-minute drive.
No, I think that they're going to win going away, not because the defense is great, just because San Francisco's banged up enough where they'll move the ball, they'll score a few touchdowns, but I think the Bucks are going to overpower them. And Jamel Dean is coming back, baby.
That would put the Bucks at 5-1, Lee. What a sweet start that would be.
Yeah.
This is a crossroads game in a lot of ways, Ira, for the Bucks, because they haven't really established a strong home field advantage.
3-0 on the road.
3-0 on the road. They've played well with Mayfield on the road. This is a team that should be there on some level for playoff tiebreakers, whether it's head-to-head matchups, if it gets to something like that. And, of course, the Niners are a threat to win the NFC West. They've got a game up on Los Angeles, and they've got a tiebreaker edge for now. So, you know, this is a big game, and there's not a lot of reasons on paper why they shouldn't do this. You got the super hot quarterback.
You could argue the Niner injury list is just as bad, if not worse, because they're on a second-string quarterback.
It's longer. They got 16, 17 guys on the injured list, and we don't know who's playing quarterback. Lee, do you have a preference for quarterback? Neither guy's very mobile. And
well, Lee says Purdy kills the Bucks.
He has.
I'd prefer Mac Jones, even though he's an airhead, and he's a first-round pick, too. So, as Al Davis said, look at his pedigree. But I always take a backup over the starter. But, man, Mac Jones, the way he looked against the Rams, I just wonder how many Niners fans are having buyer's remorse. Because all the money you could have saved, go with Mac Jones and spend that money elsewhere.
Steve, you worried about the Bucs defending the flats? They haven't been very good at that.
I'm worried
this
about
year.
Them defending anything. Except I know they can stop the run, and this is a terrible running team. They should be okay there. They really should be. They will run blitz a lot, and it's usually pretty successful for them. But the passing game, I expect them to get carved up.
Isn't this a game where Dennis should step to the forefront in space on pass defense? That can help a little bit? Run into the ball with speed?
You know, Larry Foote, the Buccaneers outside linebackers coach, who used to coach inside linebackers, who knows the defense backwards and forwards. He's been here since 2019, and he was a linebacker himself. He was out there this week saying that Dennis needs more time. He just needs more time to learn how to cover the pass and to tighten that up. Come on.
I thought he looked better last year. When he didn't know the playbook that well.
Exactly. Yes. But it's his third year. You stop it. Not only did he play in the preseason, remember, he played extra preseason time because they wanted to get him to work. He was healthy all offseason. It's his third year.
Full training camp.
Not even a hiccup of an injury. We're in week 6. And, yeah, he missed a lot of games his first 2 years, but he's a smart guy. He's here. Either you can do it or you can't. I don't see this massive learning curve to cover and he's not even close to receivers. You know, I mean, he's looking lost.
The Bucks are favored, Lee, but it's a short point spread.
At risk of getting you irritated, and I'm not trying to.
Get him irritated.
I had a reader of JoeBucksFan.com got a hold of me this week, and he said, what is it about Bulls defense and inside linebacker pass coverage? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, first it was Devin White. Then it was K.J. Britt. Now it's Servacié Dennis, because every one of them, they couldn't defend a pass. I said, well, Britt, I could tell you why. He wasn't athletic enough. He wasn't quick enough. But Devin White, you got a point. And Servacié Dennis, you may have a point. Is that just a hole in Bulls' scheme?
I don't know. I think the Devin White thing's an exaggeration, because
before
he left the reservation, you know, after year 3 or 4, I thought he was pretty good in coverage. He made some big plays in the postseason. In coverage. Big pick.
Yes, you're right, he did. But even his rookie year, he struggled in pass coverage. He wasn't awful, but he did struggle sometimes. He got much better his second year. That's when he won the Super Bowl. Who will forget the New Orleans game? Yes.
It could be a flaw in the defense. Game in, game out, White was not great in coverage. That was not his strength.
Right.
A lot of the things that he was able to make up were just pure, raw, incredible athleticism, a 4-3 guy.
Didn't he say he was better at man than zone or some kind of...
He says a lot of things.
Yeah, he said a lot of things.
all right, before we get out of here, Ira, since you're predicting a 24-20 Bucks victory, I'm predicting a 30-21 Bucks victory. Who's your Bucks star of the game? Who's the difference maker?
The Bucks star of the game is Yaya Diaby.
Oh.
A sack and a forced fumble.
That'd be beautiful.
A forced fumble from Mac Jones. And that turns out to be pivotal. Pivotal.
Pivotal.
And Antoine Winfield grabs the ball and runs 20 yards.
Scoop and score.
Lee, you're picking a Bucks loss. Do you want to pick a Bucks goat? Or is it just going to be the same old story with the defense?
No, like a start of the game
well,
for the Bucks.
Well, you're picking them to lose.
I know, but that doesn't mean someone doesn't.
Who's the star?
I'm really going to walk out on a limb here. Mayfield. He's going to have 350 yards passing. Because it'll be something like Seattle.
And then he's going on Kay Adams next week.
We should all be so fortunate.
Yeah, I think Mayfield's going to have another big day. I just don't see the Niners getting the rush in. And I love what Grizzard's doing. It's going to be fun.
Mayfield have a better arm than you thought he had?
Slightly.
Like a deep ball?
Real quick, NFL put out a video, 9 longest completions in the air yards, since 2016. They put it out after last season. 2 of them were thrown by Baker Mayfield.
As a Buccaneer?
Both as a Cleveland Brown. But if you look at the yardage, this last home run ball he threw to Egbuka was 63 yards in the air, and that would have made the bottom of that list. So he's got
that ball hung up a little bit.
He's got a rocket.
That hung up, right? A little bit.
Ira, come on. We're splitting hairs.
Yeah, you know.
All right, Ira, look, another rollicking podcast is in the books. Do you have any wisdom to go out on? I see you took your microphone off.
My microphone's off.
Ira has dunked his microphone. He's dropped the mic, as they say. Lee's trying to
I'm working on a new song. I think it's Thin Lizzy or something. And you saw my video. That will not see the light of day, that video. That's why I'm not giving it to you on, Midnight Special. But I'm working on it, Lee. I shocked my guitar teacher last week. I mean to do it again.
Lee, do you have a final thought for Bucks fans as we sail into the night?
Cross your fingers to get another win.
We need a W.
It
won't be good. If they lose this thing going into Detroit, lose a lot of momentum and fun. But I think we got it, Ira.
Think positive.
I think we got it.